Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. If you have your Bible available, please turn with me to Mark chapter 14 and verse 32. I will be reading from this passage in a few moments, Mark 14:32. Together we have been following the Lord Jesus with a specific focus on his earthly ministry at night. And just at the end last time, I began reading for you this difficult passage where Jesus and his disciples enter the Garden of Gethsemane just after midnight on the very day Christ will be crucified. This is now the very first hour on Friday. In many ways, I would rather not enter this garden with the Lord. I'd rather we let this pass us by. The reason being, I do not really understand what is going on here between Jesus and God the Father. My humanity does not allow me to grasp, to get a hold of the awesome significance of the agonizing despair Jesus experiences in this place on this night. This has to be the most horrific of any night in his earthly life. Give ear as I read from one of the chapters in F.W. Krumacher's outstanding book on the last week of Christ's life. The title is The Suffering Savior. If you have not read this book, please buy it and read it. It's available from the Banner of Truth Publishing. The Suffering Savior. Friedrich Wilhelm Krumacher, the German minister, in one of his chapters on Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, writes, quote, "I confess that whenever I am called upon to treat of the sacred mysteries of Gethsemane, I cannot divest myself of a certain degree of awe. I feel as if there stood at the gate of that garden a cherub, an angel, who, if not with a flaming sword, yet with a repelling gesture, refused admittance, and emphatically repeated our Lord's injunction to tarry outside while he retires to pray. A feeling always seizes me, as if it were unbecoming to act as a spy on the Son of the Living God in his most secret transactions with his Heavenly Father, and that a sinful eye ventures too much in daring to look upon a scene in which the Lord appears in such a state of weakness and abandonment that places him on the same footing with the most miserable among men. Besides, I know that I am expected to introduce the reader into depths, to solve enigmas, the complete deciphering of which I must despair of on this side of eternity, to explain mysteries for the unseating of which my own soul vainly languishes, and to draw aside veils which, as often as I attempt it, seem the more to thicken. But the gospel brings the mysterious narrative before us for consideration, and hence it is incumbent upon us to enter into its sacred gloom, and to seek to comprehend as much of it as human apprehension is capable of." Well, that's the end of the quotation. Friends, this is a good way to capture what I am also feeling. I am very unworthy of this text. So please pray for me, and pray for yourself that we might rightly look upon Christ and his suffering in this garden, and that the Holy Spirit will impress upon our souls exactly what he wants us to know. To do this, I have chosen the account that Mark gives us, although I will occasionally reference what the other gospel writers say. So let's read the passage, Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 42. "They came to a place named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here until I have prayed.' And the Lord took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be very distressed and troubled. And Jesus said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch." And the Lord went a little beyond them and fell to the ground and began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass him by. And he was saying, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." And Jesus came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, Jesus went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand." Well, this is the word of the Lord. Let's begin by setting the context. Jesus and his disciples, now 11 men since Judas has been dismissed for the betrayal, they walk to the western slope of the Mount of Olives, and they arrive at this place called Gethsemane, which means olive press. They are among gigantic olive trees, which grow there to this very day. Think of this not as a wide-open public garden, but rather as a private garden, probably owned by one of Jesus' wealthy followers who allowed the Lord to use it. It probably was fenced off and had a gate by which they could enter and exit. Jesus tells 8 of his disciples to sit here until I have prayed. They remain. Jesus takes with him 3 men, Peter and the brothers James and John. Now that you have heard the whole narrative, here is a good place to point out something about these 3 in the inner garden. How intriguing and ironic it is that these 3 men sleep in lieu of praying. These 3 men snooze while Jesus is struggling in immense agony. They abandon him to his prayers instead of alertly keeping watch. And yet Peter had previously declared, "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Matthew 26:33. And James and John are the ones who have previously said to Christ, "Grant that we may sit one on your right and one on your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." Mark 10:37-39. Well, how foolish these 3 men have been. They cannot even manage to stay awake, let alone to never fall away or to drink Christ's cup. Let's go back to Mark 14:33. Mark tells us Jesus began to be very distressed and troubled. The Greek word for distressed means alarmed and amazed. The Greek word for troubled means severe distress and anguish. What did Jesus see? What came upon him that caused such a drastic reaction? Krumacher says, "Something approached him which threatened to rend his nerves, and the sight of it to freeze the blood in his veins." In verse 34, Jesus says to the disciples, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch." Deeply grieved. This is an anguish so intense it threatened to kill him. Luke describes it this way, And being in agony, Jesus was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. Luke 22:44. MacArthur says this denotes a dangerous condition known as hematidrosis, the effusion of blood in one's perspiration. It can be caused by extreme anguish or physical strain. Subcutaneous capillaries dilate and burst, mingling blood with sweat. Christ himself stated that his distress had brought him to the threshold of death. What did Christ see? What came upon him to cause such dread, even to the point of death? It is the reality that on the cross he will have to bear the divine wrath of God for human sin. It is not the pain of the crucifix. It is not even death that causes him to despair. It is the wrath of his Father being poured into him. It is 2 Corinthians 5:21 that distressed and troubled him. God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let me say that again. This is 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is what distressed and troubled Christ. God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is it, the horror of our sin. Jesus, to become the child of wrath, for the first and only time ever, for God the Son to be separated from God the Father. And of course, Jesus sees the devil there that night, tempting the Lord as Satan had never done before, not even in the wilderness. The devil tempting Christ to back out, even at this late hour. Well, I've got more to say about this next time. So please come back and join us as we continue to discover who God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.